Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
The name Charlie Chaplin brings to mind a tiny mustache, bowler hat, baggy pants, a funny walk, a slew of images, all of them silent, which makes Charlie Chaplin seem like an unlikely subject for a Broadway musical, and yet, here it is. Charlie Chaplin is at the center of one of Broadway's newest shows. It's titled simply Chaplin, and Rob McClure plays the title role. Rob joins me here in the studio. Welcome.
Thanks. It's a pleasure.
Was it difficult for you to get into Charlie Chaplin? I mean, how much did you know about him?
I didn't know much going in. I mean, my main sort of frame of reference, believe it or not, was my great aunt Marion, who my entire life told me I looked like Charlie Chaplin. And that didn't mean much
you
to me.
You didn't know how to take that.
No, definitely not.
So, he is such a, for several generations of Americans, such an iconic figure.
Yeah, truly.
You know, you put those pants on and the kind of waddly walk and stuff.
Yeah.
Is that what it takes to inhabit the person behind the outfit?
Well, you know, it's funny. The little tramp character, as it were, is so extremely iconic. I knew that I couldn't screw with that. I had to get that right. But the musical is not just about the little tramp. It's about Chaplin the man, whose story is vast. So I would probably say while I do play the little tramp for large portions of the show, Chaplin the man is also without a mustache and without the cane and without the hat and without the baggy pants is just as fascinating a character for the audience to explore.
Now, you know, somewhat ironically, for a guy who made the best mark of his career in the silent film age, he was a very sort of auditory guy.
Yes. And it's funny that you mentioned the thing about, we do get that a lot, saying, how did you make a Broadway musical out of a silent film star? Well, you know, again, the little tramp communicated silently, at least until The Great Dictator. But Chaplin the man, of course, had plenty to say. Some would say too much, especially later in life. But he was also a guy who was largely musical, like you said, very auditory, and he, you know, later in life went back and scored the movies for all of his films, and he wrote beautiful, huge, sweeping string orchestrations. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people think when they think of Chaplin movies, they hear that rinky-dink piano stuff in their head, and that's wrong. He was very romantic in his sensibility, and I think our composer, Chris Curtis, was largely inspired by that sound for our score.
Well, I mean, you know, many people know the song Smile, which we came in with, and don't realize it's that Charlie Chaplin.
Yes,
He co-wrote that song.
Yeah, it's one of the greatest songs of all time.
He also won an Oscar in 1973.
Yeah.
Strangely enough, it was for his music, for the theme from the film Limelight, which had come out 20 years earlier in 1952. So how did he win the Oscar? On a technicality, the film didn't come out in L.A. until 1972. So in 1973, Charlie Chaplin won an Oscar for this music. Theme from the 1952 film Limelight by Charlie Chaplin, by which I mean the theme is by Charlie Chaplin. He won an Oscar for this score in 1973 for this 1952 film. And as with his filmmaking, Rob, you hear that melancholia, that romantic kind of, I mean, this is part and parcel of the whole Chaplin story.
Yeah, there is definitely themes to his aesthetic, and you know, that the little tramp, it's so funny, he's recognized as one of the greatest comic figures, and yet, you know, the more you dive into that character, as you said, the baggy pants, the tight jacket, the small hat, the huge shoes, that was not simply for the humor and the irony of the look. It was because they were not his clothes. Mm. He picked them out of trash cans. You know, so it's always infused with that sort of tragic hero, mm-hmm. and that everyman.
Rob McClure is Charlie Chaplin in the new Broadway production called Chaplin, playing at the Barrymore Theater. So it's not just, you know, a musical comedy. I mean, there must be that sense of poignance that
absolutely,
we find.
Absolutely. And what I think the musical does so well is it holds up moments from his life and moments from his films and allows the audience to sort of see a new window into where the genius came from. And when you learn, when you learn that Chaplin was homeless and alone on the streets of South London from the ages of 9 to 12, that changes the way you watch his film, The Kid.
Mm.
It starts to mean more, and his films start to reveal themselves to you in a new way when you're exposed to his personal story.
Now, speaking of learning stuff, did you have to learn to play the violin for this show?
Yes, there's been a bit of a Chaplin boot camp that included violin lessons and tightrope lessons and roller skating lessons, and he was a jack of all trades and could really teach himself anything he felt like doing, and our rehearsal process has been very much in that same spirit of the director dreams something up and then says, hey, we built a huge table that's the top spins like a Lazy Susan. You can get on that and run, right?
Yeah.
Okay, if you think I can, sure.
I can do my best hamster impersonation.
Exactly.
Do we know how good a singer, if at all, Chaplin was?
He could definitely sing early in his life, especially when he was in vaudeville. There's a great story. The first time he ever sang, his mother, he was 7 years old, and his mother was singing in vaudeville and had lost her voice, and the crowd began to boo, and he stepped on stage with her and finished the song for her. And the first chapter in his autobiography ends with the sentence, that was the first time I ever sang and the last time my mother did.
Let's hear Rob McClure in the role of Chaplin from the Broadway musical of that name singing a little bit of this song called If I Left London.
So goodbye to my life here in London. Goodbye to old Kennington Lane. Hello, America, filled with romance. I'll pack up my past and take you up on this chance. Cause there on that screen I will be. Somebody different, somebody new, somebody other than me.
Rob McClure in a show-stopping moment from Chaplin, the new Broadway musical about Charlie Chaplin. I can't claim to be an expert in Charlie Chaplin, but didn't he hate Charlie? Didn't he like Charles?
He loved Charles. He loved when people called him Charles, and most people who knew him well actually called him Chaz, C-H-A-S. That was the nickname that he preferred to go by. I think he could delineate real friends from fake ones as
according to what they call them.
Exactly.
You sing in that song, If I Left London, it's young Chaplin saying, if I left London, if I went somewhere else, I could be someone other than me.
Yeah.
And he certainly does that. I mean, the little tramp, as you said before, certainly echoes of his own life on the streets of London, but then all these other characters that he sort of creates out of whole cloth. And
what's amazing is, I mean, this was a man who had absolutely nothing, came to America in 1913, broke and alone, and within 7 years was the most famous man in the world. there really were no bounds to his fame at that time and still today. And something I didn't even think of, I went to the stage door one night, and there was a very sweet group of fans waiting, and two of them were from Eastern Europe, and they told me afterward, they said, you don't realize how profound this is for us, because growing up, Chaplin movies were the only American movies we could watch because there's no language barrier. Mm. And my head exploded a bit in terms of course, that's why he became the most famous man in the world, because he was truly speaking a universal language. What that did to the man, to go from someone with nothing to everything in 7 years,
What did it do to him?
Well, it did a lot. I mean, he certainly had a difficult romantic life all the way until his fourth and last marriage, because dealing with women who wanted him for him or him for his money was a hard thing, and coming from nothing, delineating who was after him for real companionship and who was after him. He had no experience with anything. So it's a fascinating rise and fall.
Mm-hmm. And it is kind of a fall. And again, ironically, it's the advent of talkies that proves his downfall, not because he can't make the transition, but in a sense because he does make the transition.
Yes, he sure does. And that's what's so amazing. You know, a lot of people have the famous speech from the end of The Great Dictator has been kicking around Facebook and YouTube and has millions of views. And people keep posting and saying, wow, that's profound, timely, relevant speech that this otherwise silent man gave. How profound. It is profound, but when it's given, again, the context of his life, the world had been waiting 30 years for that character with the little mustache to open his mouth. And it took Hitler and what was going on in the world at the time for him to finally realize the little tramp had something to say.
So he's been mistaken for a Hitler figure in this film.
Yes, the little tramp is a Jewish barber and someone has confused him for Hitler.
And this is 1940, by
1940,
the way.
And has told him that it's now his job to give up, to get up and give a speech.
Mm-hmm.
The little tramp finally opens his mouth.
Let us fight for a new world, a decent world, that will give men a chance to work, that will give youth a future and old age a security. By the promise of these things, brutes have risen to power. But they lie. They do not fulfill that promise. They never will. Dictators free themselves, but they enslave the people. Now let us fight to fulfill that promise. Let us fight to free the world, to do away with national barriers, to do away with greed, with hate and intolerance. Let us fight for a world of reason, a world where science and progress will lead to all men's happiness. Soldiers, in the name of democracy, let us all unite!
Charlie Chaplin's final speech from the 1940 film The Great Dictator. We're speaking with Rob McClure, who plays the role of Chaplin in the new Broadway musical Chaplin at the Barrymore Theater. What was the reaction to this speech in 1940?
It was his most successful film he had made up until that point. It was wildly successful, and I think what was interesting is that I think once he found a voice, he didn't want to let it go, and particularly one that was politically involved.
And so this is the beginning of, for the real-life Chaplin, some problems, accusations of communism and stuff like that. How closely do you follow that story in the play?
We certainly cover it. We definitely cover it. He started to speak at Russian rallies, basically defending them against Hitler and sort of a call to America to join the war, which at the time was not a popular vote. He continued to speak at Russian rallies despite his business manager, who was his older brother, and a bunch of other people telling him, Charlie, you cannot keep speaking at these Russian rallies. And he kept insisting, I'm not a communist, I'm a humanist. I'm not a communist, I'm a humanist. Gossip columnist Hedda Hopper, among others, Attorney General McGranary and the president at the time, were not fond of him speaking at these communist rallies and began to turn against him. And with the help of Hedda Hopper and other gossip columnists, we're able to eventually rally the public behind that notion as well.
And against their former hero.
That's right, yeah. And he was on a boat on his way to England for the premiere of the film Limelight, which we heard the score from earlier. And he was served with papers telling him he was exiled from the country.
And in the musical Chaplin, Jen Colella plays that role of Hedda Hopper, the gossip columnist who's out to get Chaplin. And this is one of her moments in the sun.
Hey there, Mr. Chaplin. Well, your act deserves applause. You wave our flag and the country is impressed. But I'm a voice among the crowd that's questioning your cause. And now I'll spread my doubts among the rest.
That is Jen Colella in the role of gossip columnist Hedda Hopper, who is out to get Charlie Chaplin. Hmm. This is in the musical Chaplin, and Rob McClure, my guest, plays the title role. All Falls Down is the name of that song. How does the story kind of unfold after he is, as you say, on that ship, served with papers?
Yeah, what's amazing is he, a lot of people, another clip that's been kicking around YouTube, is when he was asked to come back to Hollywood to receive the Honorary Academy Award in 1972. This was Chaplin late in life in his 80s, and he was welcomed back, but what a lot of people don't know is that he was not welcomed back with full open arms. He was given a 10-day visa to come back and get his Academy Award, and he was backstage at the Academy Awards in tears with his wife, Una O'Neill, Eugene O'Neill's daughter, truly did not know what the reception was going to be. The last time he was on American soil, he was being booed everywhere he went, and so he came back truly uncertain as to whether the welcome would be good or bad. And then when we see that clip, he walks out to the longest ovation in Academy Awards history, which was 12 minutes, a 12-minute standing ovation. And he's overcome, needless to say, with emotion.
Words seem so futile, so feeble. I can only say that thank you for the honor of inviting me here. And, oh, you're wonderful, sweet people. Thank you.
So what's your takeaway from having done all this work, inhabiting this character, seeing how the audience reacts night after night? What does it say about the way we elevate icons in this country, and then almost as soon as we do, try to bring them back down?
Yeah, you know, it definitely has something to say about fame. You know, what our show also does so well is the concept of Hollywood, what Hollywood has now come to mean. We watch, along with the creation of Chaplin the man, Chaplin the icon, Chaplin the figure, Chaplin the word, we also are watching the invention of Hollywood. Mm-hmm. During our show, you get to see Hollywood become the Hollywood of today, gossip columnists and all. His life serves as a perfect vehicle for that story. I'm met with a lot of people at the stage door nightly who tell me, I cannot wait to go home and watch some Chaplin films. And if we can be remotely responsible for reintroducing people to this man and his legacy and his life, I will consider that an overwhelming success.
Rob McClure plays the role of Charlie Chaplin in the new Broadway production called Chaplin, which is playing at the Barrymore Theater. Rob, real pleasure having you with us on Soundcheck today.
Thanks. Thank you. Thanks.